Is the Lord's Day sanctified by man's work or man's rest? I've written an article for the latest issues, etc. journal titled Lord's Day, Lord's House, Lord's Supper. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues, etc. journal. Just look for the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The Wittenberg Trail feature details former Baptist minister Dennis McFadden's journey to the objectivity of the Lutheran Confession of Faith. The free Issues, etc. journal.
God, I just thank you for this awesome night. God, thank you for a chance to get a bunch of guys to come out to a service who wouldn't go to like a normal church service. God, I pray that you'll get the glory for everything tonight, and Lord, keep us injury free. Just hope you have an awesome, fun night. In Jesus' name.
I think with the rise of MMA and just the growing popularity of it, it's a chance for us to reach out to maybe a group of people that would never show up at a normal Sunday service, but once they come in and say, wow, these are real people, they really do have a neat love here, then they want to be part of the other things we're doing. The thought that if you're a Christian, you have to be a sissy, when you look at Jesus's original crew, they were roughnecks. Some people would look at us and go, oh, you know, isn't Jesus a pacifist? Well, he told Peter, sell your coat and buy a sword. You're going to need your sword more.
That's an excerpt from a very interesting documentary called Fight Church, and that's Pastor Paul Burris, one of several pastors who, well, he has a background in mixed martial arts, and the fighting that he's talking about is literal. The people show up and they fight each other in his church, and he says that's a way of attracting people who wouldn't ordinarily show up at church, bring them in because MMA is the fastest growing sport today. It used to be illegal in all 50 states. Now it's legal and it's growing. It's popular. Why wouldn't the church want to use mixed martial arts? Now that sounds rather sanitized, doesn't it? If you haven't seen it, for those of you who are squeamish and don't like the sight of blood, I would not suggest looking it up, because there's lots of blood. There's lots of kicking, punching, and what they used to call just kind of not fighting fair, and that seems to be the way that MMA goes. Does it belong in the church? Joining us to talk about a New York Times story, Pastor with a Punch, and Pastor Paul Burris, the pastor, among others, who is incorporating MMA into his church, Victory Church in Rochester, New York. Pastor Chris Roseborough, he is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
I know that you are concerned about the what's been called the feminization of the church, the emasculization of the church, the sissification of the church. Is this the answer?
No, this is ending up in the opposite ditch. This is going to another extreme. And my question is that if this is regarding masculinization, how is it masculine to beat another man to a pulp? All in the name of spectacle, because MMA, really what it is, it's entertainment. You know, people pay money to watch these fights, and it's a blood sport. And this is something that people do, the fighters do, to support themselves and their families and stuff like that in a very dangerous sport. But the people who watch it, I mean, it's all about watching the blood, the ooze, and seeing somebody beaten to a pulp, and you know, people are willing to pay money for it. This is a spectacle. This is entertainment. This is, in a sense, you know, theater that revolves around violence. And I don't see how you can reconcile this with the gospel of Jesus Christ.
So, what does this tell you about the? This is of a piece with all sorts of other attempts. There used to be bodybuilding. Of course, it would be the bodybuilding team up there trying to bodybuild for Jesus. You can put blank for Jesus and fill in the blank with almost anything you want, and it's found its way into contemporary evangelicalism. What's going on here, Chris?
Well, you have to kind of go back a little bit into the thinking. There's a presupposition that you have to get to, and the presupposition that evangelicals have is that a human being is sovereign, and God is a gentleman, and God doesn't, you know, want anybody, can't force somebody to become a Christian against their will. So everything they do is designed to get somebody to make a decision of their will to be a follower of Jesus or to become a Christian or to make a decision to apply principles to their lives to make their lives better, and then that'll prove that Christianity is true so that they can make the decision to ultimately become a Christ follower. This, by the way, historically is known as the Pelagian heresy. You can also, there's another form of it, kind of lighter, but that's still a heresy called semi-Pelagianism. But ultimately, it's this belief that that man is not dead in trespasses and sins, but when it comes to the things of God, still is alive enough in order to make a decision for God. And God is kind of waiting, up in heaven. You know, his hands are tied, and he's waiting for you to make that decision. And as soon as you make that first move, God will move. And act as well. So that's really what's behind this. And so the idea is that if you listen carefully to the presuppositions of the people who engage in this MMA, or even if you read the New York Times article, there's an interesting sentence that says this. It says, pastors like Burris feel that the church's traditional evangelizing is not resonating with young men anymore, and the resolve to change that. And so the premise here is that, well, there's a bunch of people out here the culture's changed, and well, the way you're evangelizing, it's just not resonating with people to get them to make decisions. So we have to go to this extreme to get people into the church so that they can make these decisions. This is completely backwards, by the way. Scripture teaches we're dead in trespasses and sins, and it's faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. We're to go out into the world and to preach the gospel, and by preaching the gospel, God is the one who turns men's hearts and regenerates them and gives them life. And so, there's so much going wrong here, it's not even funny.
So it would stand to reason with those presuppositions about how men come to faith, or women come to faith for that matter, that you would adopt a philosophy of, well, you would adopt a strategy, which would say whatever it takes to get them in here and convince them that Christianity is a good idea, whatever it takes, we'll do it.
Yeah, and we've seen some crazy things over the years. You talk about some strange stuff. I mean, over the past few years, we've seen pastors who've put out books that help make your sex lives better, and in order to draw people's attention to a church, the pastor and his wife had stayed in, on the church roof in a bed for a few days, and I mean, just crazy things. All of these marketing spectacles just to get people's attention so that they can go and come to church. And then when you challenge them on this and say, "Listen, this is not scriptural," they'll say, "Look at the results. Look at how many people have experienced life change. This is their justification. Look at all these people are experiencing life change. You can't condemn this. We've had 23 baptisms because of this, or 1,000 baptisms. And look at all these people. We got testimonies now of people who were on, at the verge of divorce, and now they're no longer, going to get a divorce, but the marriage has been repaired. See, this proves what we're doing is right." And the problem is that they're all appealing to experience and, these so-called results. But this is, in a sense, kind of Finneyite revivalism taken to its logical conclusion, where the idea is that, we've got these measures, we've got these methods where we can draw a crowd, whip people up into a frenzy, and manipulate their emotions so that they can make these decisions. But this is not the work of the Holy Spirit. This is not how the Holy Spirit works in regeneration. They are gravely mistaken in their understandings, their presuppositions, and how Christians are made.
Do you have any concerns about the attempt to mingle? Well, and I think you rightly called it what it is, because all you got to do is turn on ESPN or one of the other kind of sidebar channels there, and you can catch this every night. Blood sport is what you called it. Do you have any concerns about an attempt to mingle blood sport with the Christian message?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first and foremost, Jesus himself, he did not come to conquer. In fact, he defeated the devil by dying on the cross for our sins. And Jesus himself calls us to deny ourselves, take up our crosses, consider ourselves as walking dead men, and follow him. Christianity, the Bible says they'll know we're Christians by our love, not by our spectacle, not by our aping the world. So there's some major problems here, theologically as well as, you know, the kind of a mixed message that sends. But I would even point to the fact that a few years ago, one of the churches that is known for kind of trying to appeal to men, its name is Guts Church, and it's in Oklahoma City. They held one of these mixed martial arts events in their parking lot a few years ago, and a young man died. And the church was sued, and it turns out they didn't have a license to hold the event that they were holding, and so they got themselves in quite a bit of hot water. I mean, this mixed martial arts is not a safe sport, you know, at all. And, you know, I can't even support it in the secular world, yet alone bringing it into a church.
Chris, what does it tell you, finally, here, when those who are wont to satirize American evangelicalism find themselves unable to do so because American evangelicalism is moving in this direction too fast? The minute you say something by way of satire, somebody out there has already done it.
I've noticed that over the years, too. I mean, I said a joke on my program a few years ago that it's just a matter of time before somebody puts a stripper pole in, you know, on stage in a church, and, you know, and everyone thought that I was crazy saying that. And lo and behold, a couple years later, I mean, within 2 years, you know, some, you know, enterprising marketing genius in Ohio of a pastor, he went ahead and did a sex sermon series and had a stripper pole right on stage with him, you know, in his church service. You can't. See, the thing is that when the presupposition is that you got to get people to make decisions, which is a false theology, then really anything goes, and it's just a matter of time before the most outrageous thing is done, all in the name of evangelism. And when you critique them, their defense is always the standard boilerplate template. Oh, but look at the results. We've got, you know, we got 50 people who made a decision for Jesus, so you can't condemn us. In other words, the ends always justify the means in the way that they're thinking.
Chris Rosebro is pastor of Consvinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and he is host of a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. You can listen to Chris Rosebro and Fighting for the Faith right after today's live broadcast of Issues Etc. at piratechristianradio.com. Chris, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back, we're going to go into our series that we do weekly with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer, Christ in the Old Testament. The very last chapter of Genesis, the book begins with life, the creation of it, and it ends with, well, a couple deaths and burials. What should we know about this last chapter of Genesis, wherein we find Christ our Savior? We'll answer that question with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer right after this. Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, on why they support Issues Etc.
Our Savior in Houston has deliberately included Issues Etc. as a significant part of our outreach ministry, and we regard every dollar that we've committed to this ministry as a dollar well spent in the extension of the kingdom of God, the proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the demonstration that our Lord Jesus is not irrelevant to what's going on in the culture, that our historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history, and Issues Etc. is in the forefront of that movement.
To find out how your congregation can support this worldwide outreach, visit the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the Issues Etc. 300.
Talk radio for recovering evangelicals. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Hymnody is important, very important. It's an invaluable tool that helps teach and confess the faith. Singing hymns is something we all do together on a weekly basis, yet some congregations find it difficult to sing confidently without the support of an instrument. If you are one of these congregations that can't find an organist, Church Music Solutions can help. Our substitute organist service allows your hymns and liturgy to be played on your instrument to help inspire and support your congregation's song. Keep singing with Church Music Solutions.
Bethany Lutheran College is pleased to sponsor Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio. Bethany Lutheran College is located in the picturesque river town of Mankato, Minnesota, and is committed to making Christian higher education affordable for all with generous financial aid packages available. At Bethany, you'll find stimulating academic programs, a friendly atmosphere, and opportunities to grow both in intellect and in your faith, all within the framework of a supportive Christian environment. For more information, visit us on the web at blc.edu.